Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I've got my heebie-jeebies hidden in a bag, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore is here.
All right.
Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And pouring himself another cup of Lady Grey, it's Pete Donaldson.
I like Lady Grey, it's nice.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. It's the most wonderful time of the year. International friendlies.
Couldn't be happier, me.
Come on. Yes.
Come on.
Not
come
that. On. No, oh, no, no, no.
Not him.
I thought that's what you were doing.
No, I stopped myself.
Okay.
Because I remembered,
he's
sadly.
In Spice World. Mm. Anyway.
Weren't they all?
All of Spice Girls.
any British actor from 1995 through to 2008
yeah.
was either in Spice World the movie yeah. or one of the Harry Potter films.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Richard E. Grant played like 15 characters in across the lot.
Can you tell it's International Week?
It's Richard E. Grant Week.
Yeah.
You know it is.
It always is.
There's some really good matches in this weekend of international matches.
Name them.
Oh,
no, there are. You're absolutely
Azerbaijan
right.
Azerbaijan versus...
yeah, that's a big one for some people.
But
Peter.
What's the big one first, Marcus?
The big one first is, of course, the Netherlands. Who haven't qualified for the World Cup, sadly, against England.
Who have. Who qualified. Very much have.
Of course, the Netherlands have never won the World Cup. Of course, England have. Another difference between the two nations.
Yeah.
So,
of course, Netherlands don't have Harry Kane. But of course, England very much do.
Yeah, anyone else want to.
Of course,
point
Netherlands
out
don't have Jake Livermore. But of course, England very much do.
Yes. So
they do have Stroopwafels.
They do, and I bloody well love those as well.
They're very nice.
They're excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My old Dutch.
So they win.
Yeah.
But hopefully England will win, Jim. Let's not lose sight of that. Gareth Southgate, though, is getting tough with the
Ooh.
Players. Yeah, we did.
King tough.
We weren't sure if he could, but he's banned the Starbucks Cafe at St George's Park, of course, where England stay and train on home soil. He's banned them from serving food while the team is staying there, and the players aren't allowed to have syrup in their coffees.
Sorry, so the players aren't allowed to have any food?
No, they can't continue to have their meals at Starbucks. I think this is a problem.
I mean,
this
why should have
been addressed way before
why,
now.
Why there's an on-site Starbucks, I don't know. But they could probably go for that scrambled eggs and nut option that I've had in the past. It's 200 calories.
Hang on.
Light, fluffy.
So, Pete, there's been a debate at Ramble HQ among certain contingents about the best coffee on the high street. Now, Marcus and I don't drink coffee, so we can't really have an input into that.
Yes, I'm not on my own for one of these things.
But some people say Starbucks is the best. Some people say Pret is the best. What say you and what say you, Jim?
As you well know, I hate the fetishization of anything, food or water.
Well, not anything.
Any kind of sustenance.
You are very much endorsing of some fetishization.
You've got entire secret laptops that you don't know we know about.
I will happily indulge in any fetish, but food, I think it's gone a little bit too far.
Do you prefer Starbucks coffee or Pret?
Yeah, coffee is not food.
Just answer the bleeding question, man.
Starbucks.
Right. Jim.
Pret, but I prefer Costa to Starbucks as well.
Tiebreaker, cameraman Sam, Pret or Starbucks?
Starbucks.
Starbucks. 2-1.
All right, well, if you were an England player...
So Gareth Southgate, you'd be fuming if you were playing for England.
Call yourself an anti-capitalist millennial, Sam.
He's actually Welsh as well.
And his side are hammering China as we speak.
Yeah.
So he's having a lovely time. But yes, I think that the Starbucks... there's a Hilton Hotel on St George's or in the St George's Park
there,
complex.
I have, yeah. Impressive, impressive area.
It is. It's quite nice. It's in a slightly off the beaten track, but that's probably why they did it.
Yeah.
What were you there for? Was it the Sven or Sol Campbell lobby?
It was a bit of both, Jim, actually. Yeah. I find that the two go hand in hand.
You can multitask.
Indeed, yeah. One's never enough, according to Sven. So he's getting tough.
But with the coffees and stuff, I mean, you're not allowed syrup in your coffees. You're allowed as much sugary energy drink as you can drink at any point during the day.
I'm not allowed
a bit of syrup in your, coffee.
Don't go on what Jamie Vardy consumes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not professional.
I feel for the staff of that Starbucks. If Jamie Vardy is coming in and going, I want syrup in my coffee, are the workers going to go like... Gareth Southgate says you can't, but you're going to give it to me.
Bring your own syrup like Denver Bar.
Yeah, there you go. Although when he was talking about syrup, he meant cordial, didn't he?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, did he?
But Pete, I think we will get into the football in a minute, everyone listen. Not,
yeah, but we need to discuss this first.
Pete, I think your sort of idea that football players are allowed as much sugary energy drinks as they want might be, if I may be so bold, fairly wide of the mark.
What about those energy froobs? What about those adult sportsman energy froobs that are allowed? Jaffa cakes, for example, that's very sugary.
Marcus, no further questions.
Yeah.
He's
the type of person who would need security to take him off the stand.
They consume a lot of sugar anyway. I can't see.
How do you know?
Because they're always drinking Lucozade. It's full of the stuff.
What are you talking about? Lucozade and adult froobs. What?
those adult froobs that are like froobs, but sportsmen use them.
England squad does not have any nutritionists. Let's just all agree on that. Pete told me it must be true.
Sven.
Piss take.
I think it was... In the 2002 World Cup, when they were away in Japan, apparently, according to David Beckham, to boost team morale because they'd been away for a while and so on and so forth, they did have like a McDonald's evening and the staff went and brought in a load of McDonald's food.
A cheat day is fairly well known in sort of athletic
and then they went out the tournament.
Was the cheat day McDonald's an hour before kickoff?
It was at half time during Brazil England. Yeah.
That would have been rubbish as well, because if you bring McDonald's to you, it's always cold. Uber Eats, they do McDonald's now. The option should be a cold McDonald's.
Right. Jimmy Pillar told a story once of when he was called up to the England squad. I think he was only called up once, was he? And he said that he was absolutely starving because their nutrition plans are thus in the England squad. You know, you can only eat certain times and so on.
Well, it's interesting that when you're in your club, you've got your own nutrition plan, presumably. Yeah. And then when you've got the national team, it might not be compatible with what you usually eat when you're at... in your domestic league. Yeah.
Very much. Well, he said he was absolutely starving one evening, but all the eating had finished.
Right.
And he's like, what can I do? And David Bentley was in the squad, I think, at the time. So that's how long ago this was. And Bullard and Bentley. And he tells a story, and he went to see David Bentley, because Bentley just knew people who could get stuff done. And Bentley phoned one of his mates who turned up and handed them a bag of McDonald's through the window or something like that.
Do you know that? And Bullard also says that, was it under Capello that, yeah?
Possibly.
I think it was, because Bullard said...
Jimmy Bullard being managed by Capello at any point in his career.
Well, he said he was in a squad, an England squad famous, he didn't get a cap.
Yeah.
And he said that Capello later told him that Capello didn't realise that Bullard was uncapped. And if he had known, he would have put him on 5 minutes at the end to get him a cap.
Oh.
And Bullard was like, I was absolutely gutted.
That's a shame. But he got his McDonald's, though.
Anyway, he's got a rival football podcast, so who cares? Should we talk about the England squad? I know we talked a bit about it.
We sort of covered it, haven't we?
we did cover it a bit on Monday, to be fair.
But that was before Trent Alexander-Arnold was in.
Called up. We need to put some meat on the bones, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Bertrand's
some
out.
Trent on the Alexander-Arnold.
Well, I think one of the more interesting debates in the England squad, which we've touched upon, and as have many others, is the number one jersey is up for grabs in a way that we haven't quite seen before. It's usually between... Or perhaps in the past it's been between two players. Do you go for Rob Green or David James after the USA game? Well, we'll have David James.
Yeah.
And so normally between two, whereas really, I mean, you can make arguments for all four. It's probably between three. I think it's unlikely that Nick Pope would become the number one. But the word on the streets is that Pickford is going to play against the Netherlands, and it's been his distribution that Southgate's been quite pleased about, because Southgate, poor old Gareth, let's spare a thought for him in among all this coffee madness. He wants to try and get some sort of identity, some sort of playing philosophy for this England side. They've been years without one. I know it's difficult to build a philosophy at international football, and a great example is the way Spain have played over the years. The ultimate example, you could say, in
especially
in
with their
years.
Barcelona and Real Madrid rivalry running concurrently with
them. Yes, well, a little more on that in a short while. But to try and get some kind of idea of playing, because I think so many times in recent years, England have just turned up and it's like, right, so how are we going to approach this then? And they're a bit unsure. Yeah. And he said he wants to try and play out from the back. Mm. That does scare me. I have to say.
I've got a glass of water and just shake a little bit. It's a bit of Jurassic Park. Oh, God.
Indeed, yeah.
A reference I've used several times when referring to England.
They're always welcome, though.
That's the canary in the mine.
Yeah, that's right.
And going back to the goalkeeper thing, I feel that we normally have our goalkeeping situation nailed down, even if we don't particularly think the keeper that we always pick is necessarily that good, because the other ones tend to be either vastly inexperienced or quite a lot worse. Mm. So even when you've got a goalkeeper who plays every time for England...
Well, Joe Hart is the reason.
England keepers just expect less, because they will let you down.
Certainly more recently, but I feel that it might be time for Southgate to be brave here. Mm. I think I would probably jettison Hart from the squad. And if you want him for experience and you want him for sort of camaraderie and all the rest of it, because by all accounts he's an all right guy, take him along as an ersatz coach like I did with Beckham that time, and you can have him around the squad.
I think he might be the number three, England's Pepe Reina.
So who's going to miss out then? Pope?
Tom Heaton.
Yeah, Tom Heaton is definitely going to miss out.
I wonder if this is actually sort of like a soft dropping of Joe Hart, if that's not too gross a term. Because if he picks four goalkeepers this time to take a look at the four of them and then just doesn't pick Joe Hart next time, that won't be as big a story as Hart being left out now.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, just a little bit of credit to Pete Donaldson.
Owner of a lonely heart.
Ah, I was just about to give you a bit of credit there. I just said that Pete often is seen as one who lacks discipline. Well, he showed a lot of discipline there, because I saw your little face when Jim said soft dropping. The thoughts that went round your mind, but you refrained.
Give another chance.
Yeah, give me a chance. I was imagining Jim encountering, if you will, a pile of rabbit droppings and giving each little pebble a little squeeze, which is a fairly adorable image.
Could have been worse, though.
Like a man testing the ripeness of an olive.
Uh-huh. Or a raisin.
Yeah, quaint in its own weird way.
Discipline is a constant struggle, though. Yeah. For us all, you could argue.
My coffee's full of syrup.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sort of really looking forward to seeing... If Jordan Pickford can sort of step up to England to see how that works. He's got that sort of beleaguered look at all times. He reminds me a little bit of Bruce Campbell in the Evil Dead movie.
Yeah, he's a bit
sort of relentless wave. It's like, not Jim. Again, rah! And I think that will suit England, given what always happens.
Yeah. Do you think that if they pick Pickford and he does well, would you like to see him stay for all the friendlies leading up to the World Cup to get himself bedded in? Because I think there's a good chance.
I think there's a good chance
he'll swap between Friday and Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, I think he will.
I think what I would like to see, bearing in mind that realistically I think he will make a change on Friday as well, I just think whoever does best in these, that's the goalkeeper. Make a decision.
But I said and was rightly probably pilloried that we always kind of like get angry and get, you know, wound up about the goalkeeper. It's... if you're worried about your goalkeeper, you're in trouble.
But you do still need a goalkeeper.
I'm not saying don't bring a goalkeeper, Luke. I think I'm making that very clear.
You're saying it doesn't matter if you pick a shit one or not, which is mad.
We're worried about...
They're all shit. They will all become shit, because as soon as you put that fucking Three Lions shirt on, you become shit.
This is why you were pilloried.
Nothing's changed.
What you've done there is you've made me look stupid. Yeah. Because about 2 minutes ago, I said, well done for being disciplined.
Yeah.
Well,
okay. Pete.
You're not only making yourself look bad.
Street, isn't it? Pete, and I can't drive.
Great. That'll be on his gravestone.
I'll tell you what. Yeah. Pete, my coffee's full of syrup. Let's drink.
Trust is a two-way street and I can't drive. Yeah.
Don't even know what the signs mean.
The Pete Donaldson story.
Yeah, I've got a question for you, Pete, and for you, Jim.
Asking him questions.
Sorry to exclude you, Marcus, but you'll see one. Do you two have any love, as I do, for the fact that Marcus has referred to Ronaldo Koeman in the running order?
I missed that.
That little finger stretching
I'd say
from the D to the O.
Yeah.
He loves his Twitter so much, you ought to compare him to Ronaldo.
Yeah. Oh, dear. But, yeah, so the goalkeeping situation is interesting. And as you were saying there, Jim, I think that it is actually a bigger statement putting Pickford in the game against the Netherlands, because away from home.
Yeah.
And therefore, by definition, ever so slightly, it's more tournament-like conditions. Mm. Whereas I think against Italy, he may well give Pope a run out. We'll have to wait and see there. But I think it's a big statement. And if he goes with Pickford, and if Pickford does well, then that could be it. But I think the number one jersey is between Butland and Pickford. But, yeah. I think Hart is there as almost like, and this feeds into Pete's point, that perhaps it's a pretty dire situation, but I think Hart's there for almost like a bit of insurance. Yeah. If suddenly there's a bit of a freak out and they think, at least Hart has a lot of experience as an England goalkeeper. And you think,
I'll freeze him out.
Bet the devil you know.
And I think there's every chance that Pope will feature at some point, because otherwise there's no point picking the guy. Mm. England are 11-5 to beat Netherlands away from home on Friday. So £10 with Bet365 will return £32, including the stake, should the Three Lions do the business.
I was going to say it would be sacrilegious not to give the Pope a go, but there we are.
Nice, yes. Also in the run, just to mention that it's Ronald Koeman's 55th birthday this week. You know, why not get it in there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you been on your Interflora gold account?
Has he blocked your email address?
He's blocked some of them. Alfie Mawson said he was surprised he got an England call-up. He said, a lot of people are probably thinking, how on earth has he got this call-up? It was more of a shock to me than most. When you look at some of the players that missed out, it's crazy. And I thought, Alfie, don't try and talk yourself out of the squad.
There's being humble and there's absolutely mugging yourself off.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think, to be fair to Alfie, he is correct. I mean, as we discussed on Monday, I personally would like to have seen Dunk and Lascelles in there ahead of him.
Yeah.
But I understand he's had a resurgence in form, as have Swansea more recently.
He's worked with Southgate probably under 21.
Probably would have done. He's 24 as well, so he's not that old. And also, I mean, the reality is, as we discussed on Monday, if we went back 6 months and started talking about centre-back pairings for the England team in the World Cup, we'd be probably saying Cahill and Stones or something like that. Yeah. Neither of them are playing. Mm. So he's got no choice but to look at other options. And I understand the principle of that. But for me, I probably would have gone with Dunk, who's been consistent all season. And Lascelles, who, as Pete rightly says, leadership qualities are there for everyone to see. And
he's a giant.
He's a great prospect.
I think the thing is that if again, we get into these silly arguments that some people do, and you think, if only he'd have picked Lewis Dunk. That's not the problem here.
Right.
It's not a sense that's going to win you the World
Cup. It's rearranging the deck chairs now. I understand that. It's just my personal preference.
No, sure. And that's fair. That's very fair. I think he will go for a back three, because I think that he doesn't trust only two centre-backs. And in qualification, you saw England playing against some much poorer opposition, and the poorer opposition were getting a little bit of jaw on the break. I think you need three in there.
I feel like, sort of tactical trends aside as well, in a situation that Southgate is in, where he doesn't have a Sol Campbell and a Rio Ferdinand or a John Terry and a Rio Ferdinand, that really solid pairing, three very busy defenders is probably sort of going to cover that, because England will have to do a
guile.
They will have to do a backs-to-the-wall job at some point if they're going to progress.
Sure, and if he wants to play out from the back, then you imagine Stones will play. I would expect him to start Stones.
Maguire's quite good at that as well.
Cruyff turn on the penalty spot, anyone?
Yeah, why not?
That? Yeah.
Let's go down with a bit of flair. Come on!
I'm up for it.
But it'd be interesting how he sets out the midfield. Will he go for a sort of a 3-4-2-1? Which is, in essence, a sort of a 3-6-1, if you like. Depends on what accurate you want to be. Or a 3-5-2, where he plays, obviously, a striker. Well, he will play a striker, Vardy, I'd imagine. And then maybe Sterling in a sort of free role behind him, or Dele Alli.
He might feel that he can't do an awful lot around that type of stuff because he's not got Kane.
Yeah, does he not want to sort of...
But I think Vardy can debutize.
Yeah, but you'd want to sort of play with a system that, because Kane and Vardy are two very different footballers, so you can't sort of replace one for the other when it comes to the World Cup. So you've got to play to the system that you would imagine Kane would start in.
Well, he might play Rashford then.
Yeah.
Play Rashford in that.
Vardy is your man who you use. I've heard a couple of other pundits say this over the last week, and I completely agree.
When you're playing on the break.
Yeah. No, you bring him on for the last 20 minutes.
Oh, well, that is...
You have to he has to understand that you've had some caps, you've scored some goals, you've had a great sort of Indian summer to your career, if you like, and you're very much a part of this squad, but you don't start games because Harry Kane's better than you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Obviously, you're not going to get much out of motivation for him saying that, but that's essentially the reality.
Vardy will accept that, and he'll know that.
Yeah.
Absolutely, he'll know that.
But what I'm trying to get at, Marcus, is if they do play three behind Kane, I don't want to see Vardy on the wing.
No, I don't think they will play three behind Kane. I think they're the two at most. I think a 3-4-2-1 or a more conventional 3-5-1-1, kind of thing. Okay. I think that's what they'll probably do. But yes, it is Ronald Koeman's 55th birthday this week.
On to the main story.
So,
18 minutes in.
Can the big man get the Dutch back where they belong on the world stage? I've no doubt.
Well, the thing is, he's taken them over at a pretty opportune time, because they
can't get any worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a team of a country of the history and the pedigree of Netherlands, realistically, doesn't get any worse for them than this.
No.
So he's in a good place. They've got some good players. They've got a core of good players coming through as well. Players like Delight and
well, could we see young Justin Kluivert get his first cap?
Well, yeah, would be. He's in the squad, isn't he?
Yeah, he's only 18, but he's...
For fans of his father.
Yeah, just for that.
But aren't they saying that like, he could be a better player than Patrick Kluivert?
Well, early days.
Certainly a more professional one.
Well, perhaps.
Made that very clear.
But Patrick Kluivert, I mean, scored a winning goal in the Champions League final, went on to play for Barcelona and Newcastle United. Yeah. So very high
well-worn path. Actually, it probably was a more well-worn path than it used to be.
Indeed, yeah. England's first opponents in the World Cup are Tunisia, of course. They're playing Iran. Tunisia are the highest placed African team in the FIFA rankings. They're 23rd. England are only, 16th or something like that? But Carlos Kiroš's Iran are in 33rd. So they're
quite surprisingly high for Iran.
It is. Iran are actually not a bad side at the moment.
We talked a bit about Iranian players in Europe on the...
Yeah, of course.
On the
I'm not going to deconstruct the Iranian side right now. No, that's for after. That's just for us guys.
Yeah,
exactly. Panama playing Denmark later today on the Thursday. And I have to say, will we see the Panama grandma in Russia?
So. We need some sort of Jimmy Jump style figure.
Indeed. She'll get along with the babushkas, you'd imagine, in Russia.
This has passed me by. What's the Panama grandma?
You remember. We talked about her. She pitch invaded when Panama won 1-0 for that ghost goal.
And to waste time, she pretended to faint three times.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love that.
And the reason why I'm bringing up the Panama grandma now is if you hear people on the BBC talking about the Panama grandma in the summer, you know where they got it from.
Yeah. Talking about you, Jermaine Genius.
Now then, before we go to correspondence with PTD, Germany are playing Spain. Probably the tie of the weekend, you'd imagine. Germany unbeaten in 21 matches going into this one.
Yeah, and to put it in perspective, for those of you who don't listen to On the Continent regularly, shame on you, please do so. Go and search On the Continent on iTunes. Andy Brassel confidently said on Wednesday's show that Germany could pick any of 50 players and still be very competitive at the World Cup in the summer.
Well, so actually,
that brings it all into perspective.
Yeah, really
but
does.
We haven't got a single fucking goalkeeper.
England can pick from 50 players.
We can all do it.
Carry on, Jim.
I mean, you'd get 50 players on the plane, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I think it was Bundesliga.com did four world-class national teams they could pick. And it's, cut, he's just showing off.
Yeah. Bundesliga.com. What a website.
Do you know what they should do?
They should
kick three teams out of the World Cup, put Germany B, C, and D in a group with Germany, and then see which is the strongest team, and then they go through.
Maybe they could do Germany North, East. No.
No, let's leave that. Let's leave that one.
Germany C would beat England. D, I think we might
get a draw. Yeah, get a
Germany
draw.
C, I think, would beat England. Yeah, quite depressing.
We'd get a draw with their D team as long as they don't score.
No, in a friendly, we'd win 1-0.
And we'd
get hammered in the competition.
True enough. Put it this way, Mario Götze has left out the Germany squad. Scored a winning goal in a World Cup final.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine if an England player scored a winning goal in the World Cup final and 4 years later...
400 caps.
if he scored in a semi and we went out 5-1, he would be playing well into 45.
Yeah.
Well, he'd have to, Peter. He'd have to.
Talisman.
They are playing Spain, which is Friday night as well, isn't it? It's one of the standout games.
Well, Spain, again, they've probably got a B in the C side. Looking at the Spain side, it does appear that Pepe Reina could be their number two.
Yeah, it's a strange one. Alvaro Morato, Cesc Fabregas and Javi Martinez, who hadn't played for a while but had started to get back into friendly squads, have all been left out. Iago Aspas is in there.
Yeah, he's having an all right time.
There's a lot of players who've played for Liverpool, not done that well, and all of a sudden are tearing up trees in Europe. Suso is another one, playing in Italy, and not so much Fabio Barini, but...
He's having a slightly better time, but he was more Sunderland, really.
One of the great footballing Iagos. I can't think of many more.
Are you going to go through this with the Shakespearean reference, Pete? Or?
I can't think of any Othello.
No, same.
I quite like that Gerard Piqué revealed that the Real Madrid and Barcelona players have a WhatsApp group.
Love that.
Because they're often accused of not getting on and falling out, and could this cause a rift in the Spain
camp?
Looking at recent trophies, it perhaps hasn't.
I was going to say, who knows what they would have achieved if that wasn't three tournaments in a row already.
He said they mainly use it to talk, and I quote, shit to one another.
Right.
And he said, it's especially hilarious for me right now because we're 15 points on Real Madrid in the league, so I'm getting very creative in my responses. Oh, I love it, fact that Piqué, whenever he opens his mouth, he mugs off Real Madrid.
Yeah. Is Piqué the peak dancer of the WhatsApp group?
Could be. Could be.
Piqué and Ramos are these two sort of great kind of
totem poles.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love it.
I would hate to be in a WhatsApp footballers group.
God. They are two totem poles of those teams. And interestingly enough, Gerard Piqué, thinking about it, does look like a totem pole.
Ramos does a little bit.
His head
like
looks
he, like
top
he'd
one.
Open his top and there'd be other faces down there.
Gerard Piqué,
and that's what attracted his Shakira to him.
Gerard Piqué does look like, his face looks like the top of a totem pole that someone had carved trying to get Sam the Bald Eagle from the Muppets.
Mm. Yeah. My hips don't lie, but my husband's second face does.
Yeah, doesn't speak. Yeah.
Doesn't speak.
Germany to draw with Spain. Also on Friday night. It's currently 12-5 with Bet365, so £10 on that. We'll return £34, including stake, in the event of a stalemate.
There we are.
Ooh.
Now then, let's go to PK Donaldson for the correspondence.
Thank you very much. Mark, PK's not, no, Pietro, isn't it?
Pedro.
Pete. Your name is Pete.
Oh, God. Hello to David Gorman. Hello, David, Gordon, I can't even read. Hello. Hello, mother. It's really hard to read off my computer.
Do you want to take five? Just fade it all out.
Using a pop shield.
Yeah.
Shall we just pretend we're talking, then we'll just fade out? And we're back.
There
with
we go.
Correspondence.
Pete's had a sleep. Guys.
I've had a little sleep. It's not enough syrup in my coffee. Hello to David Gordon for this email. Hi, guys. As I'm sure you will have seen by now, Martin Allen has returned to the Hive to try and work his magic at Barnet for a fifth time, which is insane, and help save them from almost certain relegation. Confidence is indeed at an all-time low. After only 7 wins all season, the chairman saw no other option than to call on a man who last left us 16 months ago for a pay rise at Eastleigh. Allen will be Barnet's fourth manager of the season, replacing the infamous Graham Wesley, who had subsequently replaced nutcase Mark McGee, who before that replaced ex-gym teacher Rossy Eames. Edgar Davids' reign seems like an awful long time ago. Returning back to Mad Dog, I thought it would be great to familiarise you with an article that appeared on the Notts County website after Allen had left Barnet for the second time back in 2011 to take over at Meadow Lane. This is on their website. Basically the introduction to their new manager. Right. He introduced himself in the article with the following paragraph. Good morning. Special thank yous this morning to the people who've helped me since I got here last week. On Saturday, the groundsman at late notice done a job for me. Top man. On Monday, Hannah the analyst stayed here until 7:30 in the office to show me the set plays of Tranmere Rovers for my training session yesterday morning because I was busy the whole day Monday. She is a top girl. Kate stayed there to go through my paperwork and organising me until 8:45 on Monday night. Kate is the girl who works in the office. She took my white shirt home and ironed it and brought it back to work for me to wear last night. She's top girl. The bus drivers are cool and calm and drive the bus smoothly and calmly. They are top lads.
What, this is like what I did on my football management holiday. Yeah.
It's like he's narrating an episode of Postman Pat.
Finishing up with this, I'm trying to find somewhere to kip. I don't like these posh hotels. I don't want nothing flash. If you know anyone, it's for me and my dog Monty, who is a very good boy. I need somewhere, preferably on the south side of Nottingham, to kip, have a bit of food maybe, and kind of be a dosser who will keep himself to himself, who works long hours.
A dosser very, and a dwad.
Very polite. Very polite and well-mannered, friendly, funny, kind, caring, occasionally mad. If anyone can help, please contact the club. If nothing else, says David, the last few weeks of the season should at least be entertaining.
Yeah.
Unhinged.
I've got a couple of quick anecdotes around Martin Mad Dog Allen, if you don't mind.
I like that Mad Dog's got a good dog.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They do a Mad Dog, good dog. I once met Martin Allen.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't really want to meet him because he's mad.
Oh, yeah.
And he's very, very intense. And I was at a radio station. I knew he was there. I sort of purposely didn't want to meet him because he's a bit of a legend at Portsmouth. And he was sat in the corner just being really brooding and intense. Mm. And one of the assistant producers came over and went, "Oh, Martin, Luke's a Pompey fan." And he came straight over and just like started talking to me. And he started asking me about...
His tail wagging.
Yeah, he started asking me about this season. And I said, "Oh, to be honest, because we got promoted this season, I'll be really happy just to, you know, finish mid-table or whatever, consolidate." And he just went, "Why?"
Oh my goodness.
He went, there's no big teams in League One. Why?
He's got you there, mate.
And I was like, alright, yeah. So, and so that
he's
was really...
interacts in a way that no normal people do. People might say, I see what you mean, but you want to be a bit more ambitious than that.
It's just a gentle conversation.
To me.
And the second thing is that I saw a great quote from him when he took over for the fifth time, as Pete's mentioned, where he said, because one of the things he's done, he sent a lot of players back. They had a lot of players in on temporary basis.
Right.
And he said, it was quite a good quote, to be fair. He said, "I've sent all those players back. We had so many players on trial, I thought I got a new job at the Old Bailey."
That's all right, yeah.
Good. Quite like it.
Lovely.
Whoa, psych. Yes. Hello to Stuart in North Carolina in the US. Here's another addition to the file of what footballers' names mean in English. In trying to chat more with the Spanish-speaking members of my church, I looked up some words to make small talk. Since we're about to end the season of Lent, I discovered that Lent in Spanish is Quaresma. And in Portuguese, it's spelt, well, Quaresma, with a Q. That means for the fun Portuguese footballer, Ricardo Quaresma's name could be translated in English as Dick Lent.
Dickie Lent.
I know a lot of people are trying to give up.
Yeah.
Someone's
very promiscuous men and women that I know.
Somebody messaged us on Facebook, I forget who, so apologies, to tell us that in Dutch, Steve Cook sounds like stiff cock. Which I suppose it sort of does anyway.
Yeah, I guess it does. Yeah.
Fair one. Right, we're going to talk about Russia and Brazil after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You get one of those nice big juicy worms hanging out your mouth just on the edge there.
Before we talk about those beautiful Brazilians, Luke Moore, what have you got to say for yourself?
Future England manager Sean Dyche there, talking about earthworms. I just wanted to jump in very, very quickly to say that we've got an exciting new range of merchandise available. Some very, very good T-shirts, beautifully designed by cameraman Sam, who also does a sideline in T-shirt design. You need to go to fcramble.com. Our brand for our merch is FC Ramble. You can go FC Ramble on Instagram and fcramble.com and take your pick. There's some lovely designs in there. I'm sure you'll find something you like.
And Sam knows his T-shirts. He's the sort of guy who would be hanging outside a skate shop for hours on end to just buy a T-shirt saying the word Supreme on it.
Yeah, millennial. Yeah. He wears, rolls his jeans up, wears a beanie hat, pretends to be poor.
Covered in avocado.
Yeah, covered in avocado. Smashed avocados all over his head.
He's often found hanging out the back of a skate shop, as you say. Now, the hosts of the World Cup, Russia, are playing Brazil. Brazil, many people's favourites for the tournament. They play Germany next week, of course. Brazil, another one of the favourites. Tite, the Brazil coach, announced his starting 11 last month. We did discuss that a little bit on the Continent. But it is worth bringing up again because he announced his starting 11 for the World Cup. I mean, England have got four goalkeepers to choose from. This man already knows his starting 11.
He's crying out for an injury, isn't he? That's what he's doing.
Well, Neymar.
And Felipe Luis.
Felipe Luis as well,
two big ones.
Well, Felipe Luis wasn't actually in the starting 11. It was Marcelo and Dani Alves.
Yeah, it's not a big one when you've got Marcelo already playing.
No, but still,
Felipe
it's not
Luis,
ideal, is it?
He's a good player, and you would imagine that he would be in the squad.
And it's a broken leg as well.
Yeah, it's a bad one. It is a bad one. But you look at that Brazil side. I mean, they have two great goalkeepers in Alisson, who's the number one at the moment, and then obviously Edison. And you just go through it and you just go, oh.
But Renato Augusto's in there, isn't he? And he plays in China, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. That's probably the most interesting one in that, again, that starting 11 that he's chosen.
Fernandinho on the bench.
Yeah. Willian on the bench.
Yeah. Marcus, it's also quite interesting that Russia are choosing to play Brazil, because we've seen before, certainly more recently, I would argue, although maybe you'll tell me if I'm wrong, that a big problem for hosts of a World Cup and a Euros or whatever is that they don't have to qualify. So this lack of competitive games, the manager getting to see the players performing in a game that actually means something, is completely taken away for quite a long time. So it seems to me Russia are obviously trying to play difficult friendlies to try and test themselves as much as they can, because they're not in great shape, are they, really, as a team?
True. Well,
also a very good thing for Brazil to get out there and just see what the conditions are like and what the environment is like.
Brazil did this thing. A friend of the Ramble, Rupert Fryer.
Yes, that's right.
He's got one of the best jobs in the world, in my opinion. He accompanies Brazil on what's called this global tour, where they play friendlies all over the world, and he goes with them and does their social media and writes their articles. I think he speaks Portuguese. So they are fairly used, Brazil, to going to different places and playing friendlies in different
conditions. They're the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, basically, absolutely. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, well, the Brazil team gave us a little insight into their camp in Moscow. and it looks like such a jolly old time. When we think of England and you think of sometimes how regimented they've been, and obviously there's often a lot of chat about how to, and it's fair chat, you know, how the players need to be treated and what they can
They will
and can't
stop
do.
Short of no excuse.
Absolutely. Yeah. Whereas the Brazil team, they're all just sat around the dinner table all looking happy as Larry. Dani Alves posts a clip of him, Marquinhos and Thiago Silva playing samba drums and tambourines.
Always
and all
dancing.
This kind of stuff. It's such a joyous thing.
They've got some syrup in their coffee, I tell you what. They're always dancing.
An awful lot of syrup.
It's funny because if you said, if the reason that's great is because if we sat around here saying, oh, I bet, look, the Brazilians, I better just sat around playing drums and samba. People would be saying, oh, it's a bit stereotypical. No, they are doing this.
Yeah. It's a very positive stereotype. They're reinforced, God bless them. But yeah, some of the captions Danny Alves was saying is Samba equals Brazil and Samba do good crazy.
Yeah.
Samba do good crazy.
Yeah. Something else that will be on the back of your gravestone. Yeah. Trust is a two-way street and I can't drive. And on the back, Samba do good crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's marvellous. It was like that story when I interviewed Kevin Gallagher, he told before the opening game of World Cup 98, where the opening ceremony ran over too long, and so Scotland and Brazil couldn't go out and warm up on the pitch sufficiently before kickoff because they didn't have time. You know, it was going to be get out there and we're pretty much going to play straight away. So the Scotland team were doing shuttle runs.
The football playing second fiddle. Good old FIFA.
Scotland are doing shuttle runs up and down the little corridor, and then they poke. There's a little window where they can just sort of poke their heads through and see what the Brazil side were doing the other side, and they were just dancing, sambering away
without their boots on, apparently as well. But Russia are 11-2 to upset the Brazilians in this game. £10 on that with Bet365 will return £65, including stakes, should the hosts do the business.
Well, yeah. The host nation, they've always got a chance.
It's great. We're getting into it now because we're only a few friendlies out from the World Cup itself. What are we in March? April, May, June? 3 months. Less than 3 months.
Three months until glory.
Comes around so quick.
It does indeed, yeah. I mentioned World Cup 2002 earlier. Well, one of the players of that tournament was Ronaldo, and he said recently that his terrible haircut at that tournament for the final was simply to distract everyone from his injury.
Did he refer to it as a terrible haircut?
He recognised himself. It was bad.
Okay, yeah. Right.
Although, is this one of those ones where too much time has passed?
Yeah, he's misremembered.
Like Alanis Morissette going, yeah, well, obviously, the whole thing's ironic because it's not about irony. Too much time's passed.
Still sold 30 million copies or whatever, it doesn't matter.
When he still won the World Cup. I mean, they're winning in this, don't get me wrong.
And isn't that ironic?
for those who don't remember this, I mean, obviously it was 16 years ago.
It was an inverse Sven.
I wasn't going to say the haircut. Right. I was just going to say that he had quite a bad knee injury, didn't he? And it was almost his resurgence, wasn't it? It was like his comeback.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And people were focusing more on his hair injury.
his more of a scalp injury, really.
Yeah. His hair looked like a knee. He'd shaved it into the shape of a knee.
He shaved his hair into the shape of a patella.
It was a hairline fracture. he said that everyone was talking about his leg injury, so he gave himself that haircut. And so he could stay calm and keep focused. But actually, to be fair to him, it doesn't matter how much time's passed. I'm being obviously a little silly there. You think about what happened in the 98 World Cup final.
Yeah.
All that nonsense surrounding his injury and all that business that I'm
still,
sure...
Still never fully explained, really.
Marcus, get on to Ronaldinho.
But anyway, just to finish very quickly on that. So perhaps he was a little bit paranoid and he thought, yeah, that's his explanation is, I'll do this, and then nobody will talk about it, and I can focus on the football, score two goals in the final, we win the World Cup. Lovely old job.
Ronaldinho.
Another man who was at that tournament.
Thank you very much.
Was Ronaldinho. Now, after we spoke about Romario going further into politics on Monday's podcast, we've all learned that Ronaldinho wants to get involved as well. He's aligned himself with the Brazilian Republican Party.
Someone needs to explain to him, Brazilian Republican Party... isn't the type of party that he's well experienced in, and he's going to have quite the disappointment when he turns up to the first meeting of the party.
Yeah, well, when they tell him he's got to run for something, he'll go, well, I'm not running.
Nah, I'll do it in the game. Yeah,
this will work itself out, and he'll be none the wiser.
Yeah.
Can't I just stroll to Senate?
I'm walking for Senate.
Yeah. Let's drink.
I'm walking for electrical office.
Well, they're a right-wing party, as they would, as the name suggests.
Mm. Again, maybe that doesn't mean what you think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll just stand out on a wing.
I'll float, really.
Exactly. All
populism, yeah. I'm right.
Yeah.
Well, apparently he intends to stand in the Brazilian general elections on October for either the Senate or a position in in the Chamber of Duties.
I mean, again, they are an evangelical conservative party as well. So, like, I don't think God would particularly like a lot of the stuff that he's gotten up to in his past.
I don't think God probably likes a lot of what that party stand for. I'm going to drill down to it. But
did you see what he was wearing when he signed the document for this, which is a very, very public thing?
Yeah. Is it a segue?
Everyone else in suits, obviously. He's just wearing a plain black T-shirt and a grey beanie hat.
Yeah. There you go.
Lovely.
That's it. I love the fact the Chamber of Duties. You'd imagine he's got a room in his house called the Chamber of Duties. But anyway, one Brazilian commentator
isn't
said...
Isn't it the Chamber of Deputies?
Oh,
it is the Chamber of Deputies. What on earth am I going on about?
Doesn't matter. No one would know.
No,
they do now.
Yeah.
Might be off there.
But yes, the comment about his room in his house still stands, though.
Yeah.
One Brazilian commentator said of all this, Ronaldinho's life is one big party. I have never heard an idea come from him for the benefit of the country.
Well, he's a footballer. Why would you?
Yeah.
He hasn't started yet.
I think he's basically saying he's this is point, nonsense.
Though. It's also like saying, I've never seen him score a goal and he hasn't made his debut yet. Give him a chance.
He's a goalkeeper.
Do you want a little bit of news from the party? In 2011, Sao Paulo federal prosecutors charged Macedo, which is another guy, and three other church bosses with money laundering, illegally sending money abroad, racketeering, embezzlement, and misrepresentation. So, if nothing else, it's going to be fun.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
The accounting is going to be fun.
We shall watch it with interest.
Indeed. Indeed, we should. So, yes, that's something that we can all get behind. Argentina are playing Italy in Manchester this weekend. Argentina have been accused of letting Lionel Messi pick the team, and the team has been dubbed the Friends of Messi.
Yeah, why is this? What's the background on this?
Messi does whatever he wants.
Yeah, that's pretty much
he
it.
He picks a Barcelona manager, so why can't he pick the other team?
I've got some Messi friends.
Yeah.
Well, after the game away in Ecuador, Messi scored a hat-trick. Apparently, this kind of turned into a positive thing. Where the Friends of Messi have sort of helped us through and all that kind of stuff. And it was mainly Lionel. But, on the content, we talked about, or on the mailbag, we talked about, who should they go for, Icardi. But
Marcus, I don't like it when you put the Argentinian squad down on a piece of paper in front of me to read.
Well, do you know what,
it's upsetting.
It is upsetting in some senses, but...
Particularly the forwards.
It's the forward line that is terrifying.
I thought you
were going
to say it's the Falklands.
No.
Start with an F.
We call them Malvinas. Lionel Messi, Sergio Aguero, Gonzalo Higuain, he's third on that list. He costs £90 million. Angel Di Maria, Christian Pavon, who I haven't seen much of, plays in Argentina. But Lautaro Martinez, and people who listen on the content will know all about him. One of the most—it's absolutely ridiculous, right? Argentina have already got those players, and then probably the most desirable young forward player in world football. Apparently, going to do a deal with Inter for next season. Lautaro Martinez. Yeah, he comes along.
Well, Dybala's not even in there.
Yeah, Dybala's out injured.
Yeah, Icardi's not there.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
So, the ball is back from injury, but he's just not being considered for the squad at the moment.
Quite possibly, yeah. I think that
goalkeepers Romero, Caballero.
Yeah.
True. You'd have the big Willie in there, wouldn't you?
Big Willie style.
Big Willie style.
Yeah. Willie Lent.
Willie Lent, Kevin.
I do think that the Argentina side are a little bit soft at the core.
Yeah, but they're going to score 100 goals. So it doesn't matter.
We say this every time. I mean, admittedly, they got to the final last time, I suppose.
Yeah.
Which was a hell of an achievement.
They are 9-1 fifth favourites to win the World Cup this summer with Bet365. £10 will return £100, including a stake, if they do the business. It's not a bad bet.
To remind you all, I think they'll draw 0-0 with Iceland. That's an early prediction.
Which would still be an improvement on England's result against Iceland. Yeah.
I'm not comparing them to England, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I think that if Argentina get... Often, Aguero is played almost on a wide position on the wing, and they always play Higuain as the centre-forward. I'd just like to see maybe Messi and Dybala, supporting...
Oh, God. Can we move off this subject?
I told you.
Can we go Wales, China, please? China, Wales.
I'd just like to see Messi and Dybala behind Aguero or even Icardi, a proper forward, not try and shove everybody in there,
What about this Carlito Tevez, back at Boca Juniors, scoring goals? Is there a chance for him to force himself in late doors at the age of 34?
Well, I would refer that question to Jim.
He'd get an England's team. No,
again,
squad.
What's the point of saying that?
What's the point of saying anything?
Oh, blimey. It's very nihilistic view of life. Okay, well, there we are. Argentina visit. It'll be an interesting one. Buffon's obviously in the Italian squad, so we'll see there. But just such a great shame that they're not going to be at the tournament, although Sweden would disagree. Mm. Let's go to the pre-runner to the World Cup, for my money, the China Cup.
Yes.
Where only one side is going to be playing at the World Cup. It's Uruguay, Czech Republic, China and Wales. are not going to be there. But China versus Wales happened before we recorded. It's Ryan Giggs' first game in charge, and he mugged off Lippi. Didn't Marcelo Lippi. They beat them 6-0. Lippi's biggest defeat as China manager.
What do you want for your first game? I'll take on the biggest country in the world. And I'll beat them 6.
Yeah. Gareth Bale also broke Ian Rush's scoring record for Wales, didn't he?
So. Gareth Bale, there was talk that he may not play. And according to reports, Wales could have been fined $100,000 if they didn't play Gareth Bale. They played him, he scored a hat-trick.
$50,000 for Aaron Ramsey.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
Was that in the contract then? If you didn't play your big hitters, you don't get...
It's always that sort of thing with friendlies. Like, yeah. They only have the friendlies because they want the big players to come along. Yeah, yeah.
These made-up cup things.
Yeah, it was a few hundred quid, presumably, if Chris Gunter didn't play. but Gunter, I believe, did become Wales' most capped outfield player.
And he had to pay China to be able to play. He had to pay subs.
Yeah, well, I love this. Giggs said he was a bit nervous, understandably so. First game in charge. Always, I know it's only the China Cup, but still any cup's good to win. And you never want to start off with a loss.
One of the more fragile cups.
You could, well, yes. Yeah. And Giggs said that he wanted to play attacking football with a bit of flair. Well, there you go. 6 goals to the good.
And it's also worth pointing out that two ex-players now managers, Giggs and Phil Neville, widely derided after their appointments, have both started off in a winning fashion for their new jobs.
I mean, we need to give them more time to see how good or bad they are.
Yeah, I think they'll be rubbish long term. Right.
Basically, this is a proper like competition. They've got like all the PR and stuff. I was trying to find the mascot for the China Cup. I only found 2 pictures of it.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's dreadful. Yeah. It's like a...
Oh, you tweeted it.
He's like got little glasses, but he's got a moustache that goes on his head as well.
It looks like a rejected Pokemon character.
Oh, yeah, was there love hearts terrible. Involved?
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's doing like the Gareth Bale love heart. That's probably why they...
Got Bailey involved.
Yeah, you need to do, and if you score, you need to do that.
Because this mascot will look silly otherwise.
None of this will make any sense.
If you don't do that when you score, it's a $50,000 fine.
And you better score.
And a yeller.
Yeah. Vokes can do it. That's optional. Yeah. So there we are. Great start. Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365, though?
Well, our best bet with Bet365 comes courtesy of a man whose name I bloody love, Barry Lloyd.
Good.
Nice.
He says, good afternoon, Ramblers. Last week's best bettor, Dave Harrison, is my best friend.
Oh.
And the best man at my wedding in June. I'm now reconsidering his position after his truly awful performance in the Best Bet hot seat last week. But in the meantime, I thought I'd write in and have a stab myself. I'll resist the urge to bet on the Moore Harrison derby. Dave supports Oxford United because they're playing Portsmouth this week. Because this week's international friendly list is incredible. There are a lot of fantastic games on Friday. And for this week's best bet with Bet365, I like Argentina to beat Italy in the half-time, full-time market. Compounding the misery on poor Italy, who not only failed to qualify for the World Cup, but are also going to get battered by Gareth Southgate's men at Wembley on Tuesday. Get behind that, Marcus.
Damn right.
So that's Argentina leading at half-time and full-time at 9-4. £50 will return £162.50, including a nice, juicy, medium-rare sirloin. That's a steak. I hope I win to raise money for a fantastic charity, but I'm also gunning for that first-ever hat-trick, and more importantly, an ORE. Many thanks, Barry Lloyd. That's right. Argentina to be leading at half-time and full-time is indeed 9-4 with Bet365. So £50 on that will return £162.50, including stake. All proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. Good luck to you, Barry, and good luck to that embarrassment of riches that is Argentina.
Luke, what have you been asking the listeners this week?
You've put this in the running order as Luke's feature.
Yeah.
Oh.
I wrote on the Facebook page, we love international football here at the Ramble, but we're not stupid. We know some of you don't. If you're one of those types who likes to moan about an international break, be proactive. Tell us how you'd improve it. And we wrote out our favourites on this week's preview show. So Stuart Mac McKeown, bring in the Continental Football Championship. I really think Europe could do it this year.
Yeah.
Take that, Oceano.
Josh O'Brien, they'd be terrible, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but the funny thing is, England would think, oh yeah, if we attach ourselves to Europe, we could win. We could be a part of it. And they go, well, no. It's an EU team.
Yeah.
We'd be mugged up again.
What colour is your passport? Asia would be inexplicably bad, wouldn't they? Well, Japanese and South Korean players, I suppose.
How would it work? It would have to be a continent then?
Yeah.
So Australasia would be...
Yeah, Australasia, screwed. I suppose. Yeah, yeah.
Screwed.
Well, that's Tim Cahill. Josh O'Brien says, Marcus Speller, spending the weekend comparing all 3,000 members of his England squad to his favourite ex-England nationals and giving a blow-by-blow as why none of them have the passing range of the English PLO, Jonjo Shelvey.
There we are.
That would improve it, wouldn't it?
Trust me, you do not want that.
Just Jonjo Shelvey.
Yeah.
let's have a look. Daniel Lyons. I'd replace our so-called Lions with League One and Two players who would at least play for the shirt instead of these overpaid prima donnas who don't know they're born. That's the sort of thing people say, isn't it? I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And I'll finish with this one from Mark Baker, who says, I turn it into an amateur sport. Professional footballers get 2 weeks off, but John from down the pub, who plays 20 minutes at right back once a fortnight, gets his moment in the spotlight and might possibly stop moaning about his nan would have scored that.
Yeah, like that.
Smashing.
I'd like that because that gives me a chance of playing.
And the previous one, well, that gives you a chance of playing. And the previous one, of course, with the League One and League Two, give Brett Pittman and some of the Pompey players a chance.
Yes, up for it.
Yeah.
Brett Pittman can't get in the Pompey team regularly, so I don't know how he's going to get in the fucking England team. There we go.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. We are very much looking forward to England destroying the Netherlands, of course, and international football is just an absolute joy.
And you love England so much that you are still prepared for anyone who listens to the show to come around your house and watch the game on Friday night. Is that right?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, okay, fine. If you know where Marcus lives, you can work it out. Get yourself around there.
I live in the centre of Soho.
And my house is very small.
In the centre of London. So there we are. Say goodbye, locals.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peatman.
Dick Lent.
And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.